internet. So those of you who ever miss a service, you always can hear it on the internet, on our website. And I got to hear Eloy yesterday about peace, purpose, and love. And he did good. He did good. I'm so blessed to have great leaders that, more importantly than anything else, are spending time with God outside of church. Amen? Amen? That's what we encourage everyone. The relationship with God is not in church. In church is like the celebration, like, you know, the concert, the Spirit of God, we come together. But the walk is a daily walk, and it's a personal walk, and it happens outside of Sunday. Amen? Amen. So as you figure out your daily life, you get up, you do this, you need to start challenging yourself where God is in that, because it is important that it's a daily walk. So this fall, we're going on a theme. We're studying a theme about preparing for the harvest. And the month of September, I dedicate it to just the concept of having a foundation. You know, and we studied the first week in September that Jesus Christ, in all, in your life, in your family's life, in the church life, Jesus Christ must be the cornerstone of our foundation. Amen? And that is what we build on that. And it's so important that there's no other foundation we're building on, that we're not pretending that it's Jesus, but we're really building it on ourselves or on pride or on our will, but truly building everything around Jesus Christ. And that is a principle that this whole, the laborers can't go get the harvest if there's no foundation to put everything in. Because what will happen to the harvest is that you bring the harvest into a barn that doesn't have a good foundation, the harvest will be eaten by rats, will be eaten away. Amen? The seed will crumble. So it's important that as we move forward this fall, you know, in the summer, we were talking about we need to set things right. We need to set things right. And we need to be people of substance, and that's important. And we went through that journey together, and people responded and set things right in their life. And you'll notice as we go through these points that sometimes people get closer to the Lord when they're challenged to set things right. Sometimes people they drift away because they don't surrender everything. And I've made a decision, and I pray that everyone in this place has made a decision, that you've made a decision that you're surrendering. You may not get it all right. You may not be perfect, but you're going forward and growing. And that's what's important. So as we keep building on this theme to prepare for the harvest and have a solid foundation in our lives, I want to again read Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 that I read earlier this month. But I want to set Jesus' passion. Why is God doing what he's doing with us? You know, we would like to think that everything that God is doing in our life is just to please us. Right? Like, Lord, everything you should be doing should be to just make me happy. Right? But when you read the scriptures, it's actually not that way. Everything God is doing is to prepare you to love, to care. And in turn, he gives you joy and peace that passes understanding. You see, we would like God to do things exactly the way we see them so we can be happy. But that's turned around. Go and do God's will in your life, and he will in turn give you peace and joy. And you'll be full, filled, everlasting. You see, so Jesus illustrates this when he's at the mountain and he sees the multitudes, verse 36 of chapter 9. And he was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are very few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You see, Jesus saw it. He saw the harvest, but he saw that there wasn't enough laborers. And he said, pray for the laborers. And that's kind of what this whole fall is about. Preparing for the harvest, preparing laborers, and not laborers that just know what to say, but laborers who are what they say, who are real, people of substance, people who have set things right in their life. Those are the laborers that are going to go. And when they bring a harvest, that harvest is going to be strong and fruitful. And that's the journey that we're on this fall. And I want to just continue on that and hit some foundational points. If you haven't noticed by now, God is pursuing you. God loves you. And he's in the process of preparing you to be a powerful laborer for his harvest and his kingdom. When we're in his presence, like this morning in worship, his presence was here. When we keep encountering God's presence over and over and over, one of two things begins to happen. We begin to be changed to be like him, or we run like Jonah. And I pray everyone in this place just receives it. And yes, sometimes it's a painful process to admit that we need God and we're not perfect. But allow him to change you, to fill you from the inside out. Because he's pursuing you. You can't fight. You can fight surrendering to God. You can try that and run like Jonah. But you'll end up just about as miserable as Jonah. Maybe not in the belly of a whale, but you won't have peace. You won't have purpose that Eloy spoke about last week. Purpose. You won't know where you're headed. So I have good advice for you today. Surrender to God's will. Surrender. Be a person of substance, of stability, with Jesus Christ as your cornerstone. Stop fighting for what you want and begin to fight for what God wants you to do. There's a difference, isn't there? Stop fighting for everything you want. Sure, you would like a, you know, what is it? What are the good cars now? I don't even know. Are they still Lamborghinis or, I don't know, those are like 80s. I don't know what the good cars are now. But don't fight for that kind of stuff. Begin to fight for setting things right. Begin to fight for righteousness. Begin to fight to be a person of substance. Begin to fight for the right things because the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. When the harvest comes because of your witness, because of your life, because you have built your life on Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, when that time comes, we want that harvest to be on solid foundation. A few weeks back, we studied that Jesus must be the cornerstone of your heart, of our family, of our church. A couple of weeks ago, we studied that foundational truth that we can't be easily offended. Hold no offense. You know, we can't have laborers in the church that every time someone looks at them the wrong way, they are offended. Amen? And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, and the Spirit of God was here. If you missed that sermon, you can go online and hear it. It's called, I think something like Choose No Offense or Take No Offense. Thank you. Take No Offense. And it's a good teaching on sometimes we're miserable because we choose to hold offenses. And that's a foundational truth. See, when God's preparing us for the harvest, these things have to be fixed in our lives. Amen? Amen? God does not want to bring the harvest into something like that that's easily offended. Amen? God's not going to bring into a situation where there's no Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. And that's a good teaching, and I recommend that. If you didn't get to hear that, holding grudges, holding offenses, these things are the tricks of the enemy to hold you down from growing in the Lord, from being free. And I won't go into all the sermon, but it doesn't say in Scripture to only forgive when they ask. Amen? Because Jesus is our example, and on the cross he said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And I don't recall the Roman soldiers asking for forgiveness. Amen? He did that. So that's an important teaching. That's an important lesson for all of us. Sure, there are times when people will offend us and we say, this is not right. And there's time to speak up on things like that. But holding it will hurt us. Amen? And this week, I want to study another foundational truth that as laborers, that God's preparing to bring in a harvest, this also has to be true in our lives. And I want to talk about the concept of honoring authority. You know, many times when this subject is preached, it's in reference into the pastor and how you have to honor the. And I've come to learn by reading Scripture that honoring authority as described in Scripture is so much more and deeper than just that. It is about the fact that God is a God of order. Amen? God is a God of order. Now, I'm going to go into this topic and just remember that this is all under the umbrella of a teaching about preparing for the harvest and having a strong foundation. Because God is preparing us as individuals to live according to His Word. And when the harvest comes, they'll be taught these principles that you're learning now. And that is to honor authority. It's about the fact that God is a God of order. He is not a God of chaos. Amen? We as laborers for His kingdom need to make sure that when new people begin to come to Christ or come to church, that they're taught these foundational principles. Hold no offense, take no offense, honor authority. So let's go to Scripture. In Mark chapter 12, verse 13. Mark chapter 12, verse 13. And this is a little bit of more of a teaching, and I want to encourage you to take notes and pray about these things. And most importantly, above everything else, as you hear something, write a thought down and take it. Don't take it for your neighbor. Whatever you feel is said, don't be thinking, oh, so-and-so needs to start doing that. Mm-hmm. Take it for yourself, right? It's not good to read the Bible and be thinking about how everyone else needs to be fixed every time you read Scriptures. We need to be reading it for ourselves. Amen? All right, so here's the principle. Now, this isn't very long teaching, but I do want you to just focus. In Mark chapter 12, verse 13, they wanted to trick Jesus. They knew that Jesus was something because he was healing people. But they didn't like him because he was messing up their rule, the religious leaders. So they were trying to trick him. They said, aha, he loves God. If we tell him to choose between Caesar and God, he'll choose God and then Caesar will arrest him. Ah, we got him right where we want him. And they said, the Sadducees and the Pharisees in verse 13, to catch him in his words. So they were going to catch him. Verse 14, and when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God. In truth, it is lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not. So they said, you're a man of God. You follow God. You don't follow man. So is it lawful to give Caesar his taxes and his tribute? So Jesus shouts in verse 15, says, shall we give or shall we not give? So this is the Pharisees telling him, should we give or not give to Caesar? But ye knowing their hypocrisy, say unto them. But knowing their hypocrisy, he says this. So these are Jesus' words. Why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny, that I may see it. And they brought it, and he said unto them, who is this image on this penny? And they said unto him, the image is Caesar. And Jesus said unto him, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God. Wow, that's pretty powerful, right? They were trying to trick him, and Jesus, because God is a God of order. That was not the chaos answer. That was a God of order answer. He says, give to Caesar what's his, give to God what's his. What's God's? 10%, right? What's God? Our tithes, our offerings. Give them the taxes. Because God is not a God of chaos. He's a God of order. Amen? Amen? And to follow that point, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, if you'll turn there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. This is the scriptures. So if some of you need to underline this in your Bible, or write it down, and we don't forget it. The Bible says that we should submit ourselves to every ordinance of man for God's sake, for the Lord's sake. It's pretty clear, isn't it? The Bible, God is a God of order. God is not going to instruct us to be people of chaos and disorder. He is a God of order. He says, submit yourself to every ordinance of man. And man has a lot of ordinances. Amen. Have you seen the regulations in the government? Like just for one topic, like thousands and thousands of books of regulations that businesses have to follow, that we have to do our taxes, right? That's like a 2,000-page thing about taxes. And if we are in Scripture going to go, if we wanted to justify that we didn't have to pay our taxes or do it legally or do it right because whatever reason we come up with, the Bible is clear. Follow the law. Amen? Amen. Amen. And why are we talking about this as it pertains to a harvest? And see, the laborers have to be real. People of substance. And God is a God of order. We cannot bring the harvest and teach them disorder. Amen? And chaos. And it's okay for you not to listen to so-and-so or so-and-so. Because God is a God of order. And there's a reason for that. It says in verse 14, a little deeper. Let me read 13 again. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to a king or supreme. You see, God is not telling you. So those of you that want to use the Bible as a way of saying that only democracy is God's system, not true. It even says whether the government is a king or governors, in verse 14, or unto governors, or unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, like policemen, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. A king, governors, democracy, it doesn't really matter. It says whatever ordinance of man. So it's very clear in Scripture that we are supposed to obey the law. Amen? You see, this is challenging all of us because we can look at our lives and we could look at some when we say, it's okay to break that law. Because, nobody knows. It's a small thing. The government's pretty much stealing me anyway, so they can't. Right? Anybody thought that? That's not foundational thinking. That's not Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, thinking. Amen? Foundational truths that the church many times kind of bypasses, but the little things matter. The little things matter. I shared this story one time before. I'll share it again. You know, as I was going down the expressway and they have a speed limit and I want to go above the speed limit because, you know, if it says 70, we can go 75. You know, we have our own little rules, right? And one time I was going, just feeling a little convicted that I was going a little too fast. But, nobody's watching. And Then I had this thought in my head. Wow, what if I get pulled over one day and the church member sees pastor pulled over? I said, that's not a good witness, is it? And it challenged me, and so I try my best to follow the law. And I know to you, you're like, oh no, pastor, you didn't go there. You don't know. We all speed. All right? The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. Amen? Amen. It's not my job to tell you what the Word says, but you do. But these things are the hidden things that make a difference. You know, you want the power of God, revival to break out, start doing these little things well. Amen? Because here's the secret the enemy has. It's in these things that we begin to not obey, not submit to authority. It's in those things when the enemy comes and causes confusion in our lives. We give him that little opening and he comes. It is clear in Scripture that it is God's command for us to obey the ordinance of man. Governors, police, kings, bosses at work, teachers at school. Every ordinance of man. So whatever situation that you're in, God's people should be a people of order and not chaos. So we teach our children to obey their teachers. Amen? And even when the teacher is not being fair, do not teach your children that it's okay to not obey anymore because they're not being fair. Amen? These little things make a big difference because the enemy comes in through those areas. You teach your children, because according to Scripture, and I didn't pull this one out today, but I wasn't going to say it, but it just came to my mind. There's a story in the book of Acts when Peter or Paul, I forget which one, was in front of the main religious leader, but he didn't realize it, and he cursed him. And they told him, did you know who you talked to? Actually, the guy ordered to slap him, and they slapped him, and he cursed him. And then the people around Peter said, do you know who that is? That's the leader. And he realized it was a man of authority. And he apologized. Not because he deserved to get slapped, but because God is a God of order. Doesn't mean he was right, but he was a God of order. So as we teach our children at school or at work, we submit to the ordinances given to us. Amen? Amen. And I believe that as we begin to do these little things, this is deep biblical teaching about what Christians with substance, how they're supposed to live. And that's how Paul and Peter, they lived. You know, they spend a lot of time in prison. The exception to this is, you know how in Galatians, where we read about the fruits of the Spirit, it says, on these nine fruits, there is no law. Right? When it comes to sharing the gospel, Jesus says, go and teach. You know, Paul and Peter were being put in prison for sharing the gospel. In that sense, is the only time that when the governors were telling them stop, they said, I can't stop, I got to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So if you're in prison one day, you know, it better be because you're sharing the gospel. Right? That's the only exception that I see in Scripture. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. And 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right, because God is a God of order. Amen? And the parents are the head. And children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou must live long on the earth. I keep telling my children, honor your father and your mother, and you can go and tell God that you have to live a long life because you follow the scripture. It's a promise. Amen? And so, children, you want to live a long life, obey your parents. Honor your father and your mother. Because God is a God of order. And we know in the family, there's also a structure, husband and wife and children. There's an order there. Because God is a God of order. And that's so important that we live by that. And yes, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 7, and this is the last scripture. And I want today, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. I want it, I struggle about what to preach on, to teach on, just from week to week. Lord, what, and this one's a little bit off of my character as far as how I prepare sermons, but it's just something that I believe that God's preparing us for each and every one of us, to know that the enemy is looking for openings for us to not be in order. So we can teach this order to our children, or he's looking for openings. And I don't know about you, but I know we're done letting the enemy have openings in our lives. Amen. It's time to shut the door and put on the armor of God so we can stand firm against the wiles of the enemy and the darts that he throws. And these are important topics that the enemy gets foothold through, but we're not going to let him anymore. In 1 Timothy chapter 5:17, there's a scripture about the pastor. And in this case, the word elder means the pastor, the leader. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word of doctrine. So this one's uncomfortable for me to talk about because it's talking about my role here. And other leaders, worship leaders, other pastors and leaders. Let the elders rule well, be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word of doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out of corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. You know, this is an important scripture. Because many, many churches are divided when accusations start coming across about the pastor. And in that verse 19, let me give you an example. The pastor may handle a situation that to some it didn't seem like it was the right way. And many times in that scenario, you start having division. And the Bible, this verse 19 is set here in order to protect the elders, the pastors. We should not hear an accusation and take it from somebody who's talking. Just say, I don't need to hear that. Unless there's two or three witnesses that saw the pastor in sin. Amen? It's pretty clear. Because you can hear a lot of oats, and then all of a sudden there's division. But when there's a clear sin, the Bible does have a method for pastors to be held to account. And that's where two or three witnesses that saw it together. And that's there to protect the pastor from false accusations. It's important to honor because God is a God of order. The Bible way is to honor where honor is due. The world's way is to honor.
Tian 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 t Thank you.